Like to pick up this morning and where we have left off, and maybe by the end of this little series we will be able to quote this verse by heart. But I'd like us to go back to 1 John in the 4th chapter, and this is where we have started the last two Sundays. 1 John chapter 4 verse 16. He said, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because," why? "Because he first loved us." We love him because he first loved us. The last 2 weeks we have looked at God being a God of love, unconditional love, caring about us, sacrificing for us with an agape love, a love that is without limits, a love that is unconditional. And he loved us this morning. He saved us. He befriended us. He's there to be a comfort to us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. And that's the reason why the writer here, I believe, he said, we love him because he first loved us. Have you ever loved someone or tried to reach out to them in true love and it was rejected? And they just didn't want anything to do with you. They didn't want to accept. That was unfulfilled love, wasn't it? Relationships do not grow unless there is a mutual desire for relationship. And God loves us this morning. He gave the most precious thing for us. He gave His Son to die for us. But we're not going to experience the fullness of that love unless we return that love to Him. And that is the foundation this morning of service to God. It's about love. And I know that it is a parent's responsibility to teach their children and their young people. It's responsibility to teach them what it means to serve God. So that means there are rules in the house. It means there are standards that should be upheld in the home. But do you know, you can have all the standards you want, and you can hold things as high as you want, and it still does not change the heart. Now, parents are misled when they say, well, just do whatever you want, because it is our function, part of our responsibility, to instruct and to teach. And yet, there comes a time in life that everyone has to start making decisions of how I'm going to live my life. When I left home, I was not under my parents' roof anymore. And I had the option and the choices to live however I wanted to live. But there was something. There was something that went beyond the standards that I had been taught. And it came back down to what this scripture's talking about. It's about love. Do you know that there have been many people that have been saved out of fear? In a meeting when someone preaches about hell and about eternity, that's stirring, isn't it, when it's done under the anointing of the Holy Ghost? And I love to see people get saved when they begin to reflect on eternity. When they begin to reflect, I don't want to go to hell. What do I need to do? But do you know, fear will only take us so long. When you get outside of that anointed service and you go back to school or you go back to work, you go back to life, fear will only take you so far. Now the world says that fear is the number one motivator, but there is a stronger motivator than fear, and that is love. The scripture here says that perfect love casteth out fear. I would this morning that we come back for just a little bit of time and reflect upon the basics of why are we doing what we're doing here this morning. Now some of you, and I know a lot of the young people and children are gone this morning, but those of you that are here, why are you here? You say, well, my parents made me. Well, that's good. I'm glad they did. You understand that. I'm glad that, and maybe some of you said, well, I would have rather stayed in bed this morning. There was something that motivated you to be here this morning. And I know that motivation might be a little different for all of us, but in serving the Lord, do you realize that where true satisfaction comes from is when we serve the Lord because of love. If it's out of something else, we are going to find serving God unfulfilling. And we can look at all the scriptures that talk about the peace of God and the Lord giving abundant life, and at the end of the day, we're going to say, I'm just not finding it. I'm just not finding the reality of this abundant life that people talk about. It's because we haven't built our life on the right foundation. You remember the scribes came to Jesus and they asked him a question. They said, what is the first commandment? And they were being a little ornery in asking it. But Jesus, first of all, Jesus answered and said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That is the first commandment. We oftentimes say, well, love the Lord. The first one, and that's not the focus this morning, the first one is, there is one God. Do you know that we have to recognize that in life? Because there are a lot of gods of this world. We need to recognize there is one true supreme power, and that is the God that we want to serve and love. And Jesus said, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, reading from Mark in the 12th chapter in the 28th and 29th verse. To love the Lord with all of our heart. And he went on and said, second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two, you remember what he said? Hang all the law and the prophets. This morning, can I go a step further if you will allow me a little bit of leeway without doing an injustice to the New Testament? I still believe that you can take those two things that Jesus said and you can hang all of the teachings and doctrines and standards and practices and hang it on those two things. The first one being, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Do you know that if we miss this principle of love for God, it does not matter how high a standard we hold. Those standards will be bondage to you. As a group of people this morning, we will just be some more scribes and Pharisees, having an outward standard, having the do's and the don'ts and the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. But if we miss the motivating force behind why we do what we do, we are going to miss the essence of what it means to serve God. And too many times the enemy would like to get us hung up, and you know, doctrine is vitally important. When we reject doctrine of the Word of God, we reject Christ Himself. We cannot separate the two. However, the letter killeth. It's a spirit that gives life. I remember many years ago, it was impactful. There were those among us that went away many years ago. They were very interested in a good high standard. But there was also a lot of pride mixed up in it. They were like the Pharisees. And I remember I was in the last meeting before this group of people broke off in the late 80s. And I still remember leaving that meeting and my dad, and we didn't talk about church problems growing up. Those were things that were reserved for those that could see him. But we were in the middle of it. And we saw what was happening. And I remember my dad telling us as we drove away from that last meeting, the last time we had fellowship with this group of people. And my dad told us, he said, children, he said, a lot of the concerns that are being expressed, he said, they're right. There is a concern about worldliness. There is a concern about people's zeal for the things of God. He said that's right. But he said, if we leave love out of it, he said, we have nothing. If we leave love out of it, we have nothing. Saints, this morning, we can have a high standard. We can teach a high standard. We can teach doctrine that's right and it's true. But if we miss this element of loving God with all of our heart, our standards will not get us into heaven. Our fasting, our giving, our prayers, our modesty, our denial of things of the world, those things will not open up the doors of heaven to us. It will not bring the peace of God. The absence of that will bring problems. But the reason that we have joy and victory and why this is satisfying to serve the Lord is when we enter into a relationship of mutual agape love. And that is the love that the Lord is looking for heart service. No longer am I living like I am because I have to, because I'm under my mom and dad's roof. But I live like I live because I love God. Everything I do for my wife is not because I want to do it in the flesh. It's not always enjoyable to do every duty that needs to be done. But do you realize there is joy in sacrifice when you don't feel like something, when you love someone? And it's not that you have to do it. I don't have to take out the trash. I don't have to fold the laundry. My wife is not well right now. My wife does good, and I know she's in the back, but I guess it's easier to say it. It's good to get from the chair to where she needs to go. She can't do much right now. Do you know that I don't see it as hardship to stand there and fold the laundry and change the wash and do the dishes? I don't see that as hardship. Do you know the reason why? Because I love her. And I want to do what I can to help her. Do you know that's what the relationship with the Lord is about this morning? It's not because, oh, I have to do this. And you know, the young people and children kind of roll their eyes. Well, I have to do this, but I can't wait. I remember my wife telling me she had a friend that she grew up with. And her friend used to say, I can't wait till I leave home. I can't wait till I leave home and I can do this and I can do that. And do you know her friend eventually did do this and that. And she's away from God this morning. It's sad to me. But do you know it breaks God's heart because none of us are forced to serve the Lord this morning. The Lord is not wanting, He's not trying to coerce any of us that we have to do this or that. But if we want to have relationship, it takes mutual love, doesn't it? And my wife has done the same thing for me many a times. She's literally held me up when I was about to fall. She has literally been that support. Do you know that's what marriage is about? It's about, you know, we choose to stand by one another in good times and in bad times. That's love. That is the love that the Lord is looking for this morning. He has His angels to do His bidding. He has angels to do what He says to do, but He wanted us out of choice that I'm not forced to serve God. But Lord, if this is displeasing to You and I can enter into a closer relationship with You because You're a holy God and I know we must be holy to be in the presence of a holy God, then Lord, You have done so much for me. You forgave me of my sins. You've been a friend in the dark times. You gave me the song in the night. So then, why is it I want to tenaciously hold to this little thing that's interfering in my relationship with God? Do you know this morning, and I, Lord help us today, we can snip and trim and cut and try to measure to a standard and try to say, well, I'm going to try to be a better Christian and I'm going to pray more and I'm going to fast more and I'm going to give more, and that's good. But do you realize those things do in and of themselves do not bring about a closeness with God? Right. You know, I think sometimes we struggle too much. I think we struggle too much. Young people and children, listen here. The standard of modesty and godliness and holiness is right and it's biblical, and we need to teach it. Don't get on to the preacher when he brings it out. However, it is empty and it is vain if it's not coupled with the motivation of why I'm doing it. The reason why, because Lord, I want to please you. And if you teach me something in your word, and I know that if I obey that out of my heart of love for you, and it brings me into a closer relationship with you, I am willing to give up whatever it takes, the song said. Whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord. So please don't misunderstand this more. I'm preaching where we live now. But sometimes we can try so hard. We can say, I'm really struggling here, so I'm going to do this, and I'm going to cut this, and I'm going to trim that, and I'm going to move up here, and I'm going to... And we still struggle. We're still not finding the victory. Why? Do you think the answer lies in the foundation of the reason why?
Yes.
If I can come back and say, Lord, you know I haven't been what I should have been over here. And I want to change that, Lord, but Lord, I love you. And I just want to draw close to you, Lord. And I want to be one with you, Lord. And I want to open my heart more to you than I ever have before. You want to see victory start coming? Open up your heart to God. Return that love that He has so freely showed to us. And you will find victories where there had been defeat. It doesn't mean that, well, it's all about my heart, so all these other things don't matter. No, do you remember what Jesus told the Pharisees? He said these things, or His disciples, He said these things you ought to have done. Fasting and praying and giving, and we have modesty on that. You outward things. But He said they left the more important things undone. They neglected what was most important. They had a legalistic system. I have heard God's people be accused of being legalistic. Have you too? Maybe you thought that before. Fair is fair, folks. Some people are too legalistic. Alright? They are. It's not right. I don't agree with that. Just like I don't agree with someone who said, well, God and I have our own little thing going in our heart over here. We can live however we want. Don't judge me because we've got our... No, the Bible tells us how to live, doesn't it? But both of those extremes are wrong. The Bible is balanced and it's temperate. And the Bible teaches us what it does in the New Testament to bring us into a closer relationship with God, but it's motivated by love. So if I'm struggling with, I won't ask for suggestions, I don't want anybody to be on the spot, but maybe I'm struggling with modesty. Or maybe I'm struggling with some of the gods of this world. Music, sports, entertainment. Those are things that are captivating our world, isn't it? There are some lawful aspects to some of that, and there are some that flat out aren't good for us spiritually. And we can say, okay, I'm going to try to cut that out. And we chafe under it. And you do good for a week or two, and what do you find, usually? You start sliding back into where you were, don't you? So what's the answer? We need the preacher to come and hold up a higher standard? Or do we need to recognize that I'm struggling here, and I know the Lord wants a change? How do I fix it? Lord, I love you. Help me to have greater love. Lord, help me to love you more. I find that love for God is the answer, folks, to a lot of the struggles. Where you see compromise, yes, we don't want to see compromise. It breaks my heart. There's a lot of it, saints. But you know, there's a reason for it. There's a root to compromise, and it's because people's love for God isn't what it ought to be. Which means in the struggles that we all have struggles. I think with the teaching of doctrine and standards, we need to recognize the foundation. Lord, I love you. Help my love, Lord. I've gotten a little bit lukewarm, or my love isn't as zealous or as fervent as it should be, and you find that you begin to open up your heart and love to God, you are going to begin to find it's easy. It's easier to start changing some of those things that the Lord's really not pleased with, because now my heart's right. Now my heart's right. It's not about this and that and the other, but it's about where our heart is this morning. You know, the Lord could raise up, He told the Pharisees, He said, don't say that you're just Abraham's children. He said the Lord could raise up children of Abraham out of these stones. In other words, saints, the Lord has angels. They obey Him. The Lord doesn't want us to be these little robots. He created us with choice. And people say, well, why all the difficulties then? Because of choice. There is no such thing as love without choice. Think about that a little bit. There is no such thing as love without choice. If my wife had been the only woman in the world, and I had been the only man, and we had to get married, I mean, that's the only possibility, that's what we're going to do, and it would be a little more difficult to define that as love. Because there was no choice. But in many wedding vows, what do we say? Forsaking. Forsaking all others. Whether rich or poor, sickness and in health, all of these things, I choose you. Do you know that's what love is? Love is much more than a feeling and emotion. Maybe you woke up this morning, you didn't just feel all bubbly about your siblings or your mom or dad or your, you know, you can, maybe you didn't just look at your spouse and be like, oh, I love you, and just all these bubbly. Those times are good. You know, those special moments of warmth and that emotion, that's wonderful. But I'll tell you what, there's going to come some time, some hours and some days. You may even go a few weeks. And it just seems like maybe the emotion isn't as strong, but it doesn't mean your love has to be any less. Because I still choose. I'm committed. I am here. I'm not going anywhere. And when things get a little difficult, or the money's a little bit lean, or there's been changes, or there's been some pressures being exerted, no. The love is just as strong, because we're not living on feeling now. We're living on true love. And true love that the Lord is looking for from us is that agape love. Unconditional choice. That, Lord, I choose you. And when things get tough, I don't want to slide back into the things of the world. But where's the answer? Lord, I need to get closer to you. Lord, I still love you. I just reaffirm my choice that I want to serve you. And Lord, where I've been struggling, Lord, I've been struggling. It seems like I've been failing there. What do I do? Lord, I don't even know what to do anymore. But Lord, help my love to grow for you. And you will find when people's love for God starts growing and they invest in that relationship, when the Lord starts putting his finger on things in our life, it's so much easier to say, let it go. That's fine. Because I found what I needed so long. I ought to, how can I but love thee, Lord? Because he's been such a faithful friend. Lord, bless us this morning. We can have, and I'll just say in brief, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, what's it like? Sounding brass. I give my body to be burned. How many times do we hear people say, pray for the martyrs? And it's good to pray for the martyrs. But you know what I found in some of my travels? I have found martyrs that didn't have a whole lot of love for God. The glory is not in the martyrdom. The glory is in the love for God that says, if it takes persecution, I love my Lord most. Though I give my body to be burned, the scripture says, and have not charity, it profiteth me what? Nothing. All of the standards and the doctrines and all of the things that are good and right, saints, it does not profit us anything if it's not motivated by love. The Lord's looking for heart service this morning. Why do you do what you do? Going back to the title of this little series, it's because of love. Why don't you go there? Because of love. Because I love the Lord, and I don't want something to hinder my relationship with God. And I found that when I started doing that, I started getting lean in my soul. I realized when I started doing these things, and someone says, well, you're just legalistic. Well, you can do what you want. But as for me and my house, I found that when I started going to this, or I started watching that, or listening to that, or doing that, or going that direction, I realized that started losing that closeness with the Lord. And then I looked into the Word and I saw what it taught. I said, you know what, it makes sense why the Bible teaches what it does. So I'm going to lay that thing aside. And people can accuse you of being legalistic or self-righteous or whatever. And again, there are people like that. But for us this morning, the answer should be, and the reason, the motivation is, Lord, I love you. And if I see something hinder my relationship with God, I'll lay it aside. And when someone asks of me, I can go beyond saying, well, that's what my church teaches. That carried me for so long when I was a child. I don't say that anymore. Why do you do that? Well, I can give you scripture, the reason why, and if this is what God wants, and I do differently, I don't have the same relationship with God, and I do it because I love God. That's why we do it. Young people, don't let the devil take advantage when people start using the terms being legalistic. Yes, there are modern day Pharisees right among us. There are people that compromise doctrine and truth, but what's most important for us this morning? If we do not build our lives on a foundation of agape love, unconditional love, Lord, I love you, and I want to put you first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus said in John 14, if you will recall, in the 23rd verse, Jesus said, if a man love me, he will do what? He'll keep my words. If a man love me. The Lord's not interested in beating us into submission this morning. Now, children, your parents, I'm not talking about beating, but your parents have a responsibility to teach you and require of you and lead you in the paths of righteousness. But you're going to get to an age that you can chafe under that. You can chafe under it because it feels like bondage. But you will find when you open up your heart and say, Lord, I give you my heart and I love you, it will radically transform how you start viewing and understanding maybe the things that you have heard for your whole life. Folks, we can't afford to leave love out of this. This is what it is about. No obligation but heart service. I do it because of love, for the love of Christ constraineth us. So in closing this morning, I would like to share a little story from the 14th chapter of Mark. I know it's very familiar with you, to you. But in Mark, in the 14th chapter, there is a woman that came to Jesus, and she had an alabaster box. Verses 3 to 9, I might just summarize a little bit for the sake of time. But she came with an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, which was very precious. That spikenard was a perfume that came from a root that was from the West Indies. And it was very, very expensive. If you read the whole story, you'll find that they said she could have sold it for 300 pence. Now let's think about 300 pence. Remember Jesus told the parable about paying a penny a day? Good wages, a penny a day. So let's just extrapolate a little bit and say that this ointment was worth 300 days of labor. So how much do you make a day? You don't have to answer that. Multiply it by 300. Okay? So you're getting close to a year's wages. All right? So this was precious ointment. It may be more precious for some of you than others. But it was precious ointment. It was costly. And she brought it and she broke the box, or she broke the seal. And it said that she poured it on Christ's head. And there were those that were indignant. And they said, why is this woman wasting this? She could have gone and sold it and given it to the poor. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. And then in verse 8 it said, she hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of as a memorial for her. It was before Christ went to the cross to give the best that he had for you. And she came, and it was foreshadowing in anointing his body with perfumes, preparing him for death. But this woman was not forced to give that, to break that box, that alabaster box, and pour out that perfume. She came and she did it.
Because of love. It was art service.
This morning in closing, we all have an alabaster box. You have things in your life. You have a box that's pretty close. It's valuable. Who you are. What makes you tick. Your dreams. And your plans. And your goals. And your desires. And your ambitions. And those things are not all wrong. But you, what makes you who you are, only you have the power of the strength to break the seal and pour it out. And we can struggle individually. We can struggle in our homes. We can struggle in the church with standards and doctrines and concerns about worldliness. And I have them. But what's the answer? It's something that no one else can do for you. And you can't do it for me. The Lord is not wanting to force us. He has the angels. He's got Pharisees to hold up this thing way up here. He's got that. But what he's looking for this morning is people that will come with their alabaster box and say, Lord, I love you. And I give you the best that I have. Why? Because he first loved us. He's done so much for us this morning. I don't want to hold back on something that will bring me into that close relationship with God. So why are you doing what you're doing this morning? Is it out of coercion? Is it out of peer pressure from people in the church? I will say there are some things people say, well, I just didn't do it because what would people think? Don't worry about what everybody thinks then. Okay? Worry about what the Lord wants. Lord, I love you and I want to please you. And that's my heart. That's my motivation. May the Lord bless each one of you this morning. It's because of love. He loved us unconditionally. And the Lord is looking for someone this morning to say, Lord, I love you. I love you unconditionally. And if this is hindering me in my walk with you, Lord, I just open up my alabaster box and I pour out to you at your feet that which is most precious to me. You will find serving the Lord is fulfilling. But if you're not at that place, I want to say it's going to be a struggle for you. And you're going to wonder what everybody's talking about. And you're going to start thinking everybody else is just legalistic and modern day Pharisees. And they're not. There are some, but that's not what our motivation is here this morning. We do what we do because of love.